Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter. Welcome back. It's part three of WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
10 years in the making.
Just constant reminders about Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and everyone else who made WrestleMania fun.
Yeah, absolutely. They actually, when they talk about WrestleMania 9 in that little flashback, and they don't feature Hulk Hogan, they choose to remember WrestleMania 9 as a miscarriage of justice. Which, ironically, is something that Vince McMahon was very much hoping for, knowing he had a big steroid trial coming up in the next few months.
Exactly. Steroid trial sounds like something positive.
you don't want to be positive for your steroid trial.
No, but no, is it like, oh, they're doing some steroid trials on possible solutions to your problems. So maybe in a couple of years, if you can survive that long, you can have your steroid trial.
In any other arena other than wrestling, if someone says, you know,
I've had to take cortisone.
You go, oh, well, I'm glad it's working out for you. But the difference is in wrestling, someone is saying that and they're standing on a glass top bar, you know, like Coyote Ugly, and they're screaming it in your face while the Dynamite Kid holds your arms back so they can all punch you. Terrible fun. Terrible.
So we rejoin the action with it's Men on a Mission and the Quebecers.
If the mission is to make me not want to watch wrestling, then mission achieved, boys.
They are some big lads, Mabel and Moore.
Oh, they are. Let's not beat around the bush. They are.
They are bigger than the bush.
Mo is fat and unathletic.
Yes.
And
Mabel.
Mabel is.
Bigger.
I mean, just. I mean,
more taken to its natural
fat lump. He is wearing the most unflattering costume because it looks like a tent you'd hold pride in. And it flaps and it's glittery.
Yeah.
And he has no dignity.
You and we are two men doing a podcast about wrestling.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, because I mean, usually the fat blokes, they at least give them some figure hugging clothes.
Yeah,
they don't even bother with them. They're just wear the biggest t-shirt we can find.
Looks like a ship. Like a ship with sails that have all gone wrong. He is an amazing physical specimen.
Oh, yeah.
A guy called Nelson Frazier. He was an amazing physical specimen. The problem is that was also, you know, I mean, it's wrestling. You're supposed to have these different types of bodies, these different types of performers.
Yeah.
It's all of, you know, life in its rich tapestry is there. But, I mean, it's a bit fucking cruel. They should have said to him, you've got to lose some weight or you're going to die at 41, which he does.
Which he does. His last match is against CM Punk.
Was it?
Yes.
Ah, yes, okay.
And what I like about it is he died of a heart attack February 13th, 2014. Mm. He was cremated and his widow divided the ashes into 500 pendants to give away to loved ones.
Did they?
I was thinking, I probably could have made a funeral.
Other thing I know about him is he had the heart attack in the shower.
Yes.
And I think, fucking hell, that must have been hard getting that out.
And also, his widow, is threatening to sue the WWE, alleging that the company had concealed information about performance risk relating to concussion and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which left him with migraines, depression, and memory loss. He died of a heart attack, love.
Yeah,
he was a terrible specimen of a human.
Stone.
He was the fattest man you've ever seen in your life.
He really
you
was.
You ain't getting any money out of the WWE, I'm afraid.
No.
With the greatest of respect.
Absolutely. absolutely.
You are doing his memory disservice to say that that had anything to do with head trauma.
True that. I mean, he was not. I mean, you know, he had a long career. This is really the start of it. He comes from a small Memphis place where they were playing two sort of, I think they were called Harlem Knights, and they were terrifying. And WWE had that thing of going, we don't have very many people of colour on the roster. So we can't just go, they're thugs and they're, you know. So they start bringing them in with this sort of socially aware. They show little vignettes of the two of them walking through, like, depressed ghetto-esque neighbourhoods.
Right, okay.
Just going, this could all be changed for the better. I mean, what is this? How is this selling a ticket? Anyway, they come and they have this manager called Oscar.
Right.
He is Men on a Mission, is shortened to MOM. Mabel, Oscar, Mo.
Right.
They've got rid of the A on that. That's Men on Mission, but fuck that. Let's not forget one of them, the huge big bloke, is called Mabel, which under no circumstances is a bloke's name. Big Sue.
Men on, isn't Mission the gay area of San Francisco?
Ah, well, I don't know. He's not gay because he had a widow, although that doesn't mean anything.
No, but I'm not saying that they're gay. I'm just saying that isn't Mission...
Certainly in 2005, they gave him a gimmick where he played the world's greatest love machine, Viscera.
Ooh.
And he had a move which was called Visagra, which
like
was basically...
Viagra?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really work.
No.
And basically, he'd just lie on wrestlers and then pelvic thrust them from behind when they were on the floor.
Fair dues.
I mean, it was just a sort of bumming...
Not the worst thing in wrestling we've seen, to be honest.
But Men on a Mission, I mean, they are absolutely fucking terrible. Oscar, the guy who does the rap to open it, he had a chance meeting. He was working at a casino and he'd met Randy Savage.
Right.
And he said, can I do a rap for you? I'm a big fan. And Randy Savage went, you sure? You know, and off Oscar goes. And Randy Savage basically went, I'm going to get you a job with the WWE tomorrow. And he did. Yeah. And then this guy, who is a fan, starts being a manager. Now, I don't know what the rap is that he gave to Randy Savage, right? But I've brought you the actual recording of his WrestleMania rap.
Okay.
Randy Savage heard this and went, this guy is one of the great rappers.
All right, then, Men on a Mission rap.
This isn't like in 1982 when no one's heard rap before. This is, he's turned onto WrestleMania and he's gone, should I write it or just freestyle it? And he's gone, do you know what? I'm good at freestyling. And then he finds himself at one bit just going, I'm just counting. I'm just counting from one to seven, four, five, six,
MSG,
seven.
Monosodium glutamate.
Don't eat Chinese. Oh, I don't know. How is it so bad? Not only does he have no lyrics, he just takes a load of that, wave your hands in the air.
Yeah.
And he can't deliver the words.
He's just barking.
It's awful. He doesn't last that long with them because...
Right.
At some point they say, this team is not really going anywhere. We need to make them bad guys.
Mm.
And they say to Oscar, so we're going to, you know, make you heels. And Oscar says, under no circumstances.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
They go, I don't really know what you mean. And he says, I will not be associated with negative rap. I will only do very positive portrayals in wrestling.
I would not. So they've gone from throw your hands in the air to... put your hands down. that's it.
He basically, Oscar then retired from wrestling. What a loss to the industry. Just imagine how he could have gone on to do other classics like Wave Your Hands Over There. Or can you see this?
Confusing.
Oh, it's awful.
Come on,
isn't
everybody.
It? Oh, it's so bad. God knows what he did. But the thing is, Savage is, he was clearly a bit of a fan of rap.
Yeah.
Because in about, 2000, I think, can't remember when, he releases his own rap album called Be A Man. Now, it's one of those things, it's always been a big joke where people are like, oh my God, Randy Savage, Macho Man Randy Savage released a rap album in about 2001. Is there anything more stupid than that? I had a look on Amazon for the album. And the album, the cheapest one you can get is on CD, is £125.
Well, you got your answer, haven't you?
I tell you what, I listened to it, and it's so much better than you'd imagine it would be. So this is his rap song, Be A Man.
Right.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you.
Gets better.
I'm coming after you, you coward. I dig it in, overplayed, you set it off.
Set it off.
Used to be hard off, now you done turns off. Doing telephone commercials, I seen ya. There's a ballerina. I do all along, you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from macho like I got a disease. Do please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight, the rock's great. But when a challenge told me to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show.
None of us want to hear an entire album of that.
No.
But he has the ability to actually go, I understand where the beat is.
Yeah.
The lyrics are appalling.
Well, it's like that. Up in here.
Also reminds me of Cold as Ice. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Cold as Ice.
The DMX.
Shit. I remember they were quite an unacceptable band. I think they had quite old-fashioned views.
Oh, good-o.
About ladies and men. Very odd. It's surprisingly good, Savage. So he obviously had a little bit of a liking for hip-hop.
Something.
Oscar must have absolutely been the best he's ever been on that day he met Randy Savage. Because Jesus Christ,
he had an ear.
WrestleMania. Fucking hell.
I would have liked to have seen, because you know how they always twin kind of R&B stars with rappers, and the rappers, the rap bits, and then the R&B.
Yeah.
Kamala and Macho Man.
Oh.
Was it Kamala who sang?
It was
Kamala who sang all
with
the beautiful songs.
With his sweet, deep, honey voice. With his big sugar bear voice.
Lovely.
Talking. Men on a Mission, this was actually originally going to be a match between the Quebecers, who are the Mountie, Jacques Rougeau, and his partner, who was Jean-Pierre Ouellette, who is still wrestling, actually having a bit of a career renaissance in the last couple of years.
Renaissance being a French word.
Very good. There's a funny image of when you see two people dressed in law enforcement clothing just wailing on two black lads. Again, there's something about it. I just come from a generation where I sort of go, well, that really, I don't like it.
Yeah,
not
no.
Not like kids nowadays who are really into it.
They love
that.
It.
That's mental.
Some images that you can't... at the time you're sort of watching it, you're going, I'm watching it, but something in the pit of my stomach can't.
Yeah.
Have I told the story on this podcast where I was a rugby club?
No.
I was DJing a rugby club, and they're all about, you know, kids like 19, 20. And they're all kind of, they're all dressed in like kind of tutus and stuff, these blokes. Like cut as hell, they look great. But they're all being sold to the highest bidder, to the women, basically.
Yeah,
the women are doing, you know how they do that at university? You do like a kind of auction, for them, like a sexy auction.
There used to be a word that came before auction when I was younger, when those things came up. But it's not a word that anyone's going to say now.
A what auction?
It was called a slave auction.
A slave auction? Well,
yeah.
So the but the rugby club thing conceit is that you have this this rugby ball that's filled with cement manacled to your foot,
right,
and if you and each person has a turn of having it in their hands, and if you put it down at any point, you got to down your drink and do forfeits and stuff like that,
right.
So you got to carry this rugby ball around all the time, and so it rotates every half an hour, it changes player, and there's a auction happening where I am. The ringmaster, basically the auction man who's doing the auctioneer, and a man gets on stage, a young black man in a tutu, wearing barely any clothes, with a cement block manacled to his foot. And I'm selling him to the highest bidder. And it is... And at the time, I was thinking, I'm glad smartphones aren't quite as ubiquitous as they are now.
Was this some kind of fundraiser for, like, the Bilderbergs?
It was for... it was for charity.
For charity?
And I'm like, guys, this isn't a good look for anyone in this fucking room.
Mate.
It's dreadful.
Oh, if anyone did have a semi-functioning smartphone at that time, they've got those photos.
I would pay more than Macho Man's rap album to get a copy of those pictures because, my God. But it's that kind of, it is that kind of, you can't elucidate, you can't kind of vocalise it without sounding like you're mental. In the back of your head and in the pit of your stomach, you sort of go... I've seen this somewhere and I don't like it.
I still have it when you see mixed sex matches. So
right.
Where you get sort of... There are certain things, and I think, you know, there are lots of intergender matches certainly that are happening in the British scene at the minute. Mm. And I think that's fine. There is just... I just have a thing where when someone smacks a woman in the face, I have a basic thing of going...
That's not right.
Everything in my body is going, I don't like this.
Mm.
And I think that's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, that is the building block of being a normal human being, isn't it?
Even though on a basic level, I hate men on a mission and would love to see them get beaten up. When there's two people dressed as law enforcement.
Yeah.
Kicking two members of any minority, I just don't like it very much.
No.
Oh, it makes me feel sick. But Jesus Christ, I mean, if it was going to be any two people I'd like to be beaten up by law enforcement, it would be men on a mission, regardless of race. Mabel actually goes on, he does have, his size gives him a career that he doesn't really deserve.
Yeah.
So he goes
on. He's very
on,
tall and very wide. Like,
he is.
Incredible.
And he's got, he's got a sort of amazing face. He's got kind of, he is the last person you'd ever make a good guy.
Yeah.
There is something about his face which is sort of a little bit malevolent.
Mm.
It's remarkable. Look, so he becomes a bad guy in about 95. He wins the King of the Ring tournament, the worst winner of all time. I think he beats even Billy Gunn, who comes later. He had a feud with The Undertaker. He breaks The Undertaker's orbital bone. He has a match with Diesel, the world champion at the time, at SummerSlam. He almost breaks Diesel's back. And at the Royal Rumble, he runs into a guy called Henry Godwin, and Henry Godwin just begins coughing up blood. He just gets crushed. And so they basically go, do you know what? This guy is a fucking liability. Who'd have thought a man the size of a house
could damage all of our product?
Yeah, people with like normal bodies. End up getting crushed. So they basically sort of decide they're going to get rid of him. They do bring him back again and again over the years.
Right.
So he comes back as Viscera sort of later on in the sort of 2000s. Actually, the Attitude Era of Viscera is around. And he gets a couple of makeovers, Big Daddy V when he's in ECW.
Mm.
But he was just one of those guys who, he was just so big.
Mm.
He's like Carly.
Yeah.
They Carly. I said that like it was huge.
Like iCarly. Like iCarly,
the
TV show.
Teenage girl. The great Carly. he's like the great Carly, who is, a spectacle.
Mm.
But he was a big spectacle. But it's also, it's not like you could say to Carly, I can't say his fucking name. It's not like you could
Carly.
Say to great Carly, you need to shrink a bit, mate.
Yeah.
But you could say to Viscera, mate, you need to lose some of this weight or you're going to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is it was a good look, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then he died.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Never mind.
We're talking of big fat people who nobody helped. The next match is WWF champion Yokozuna versus Lex Luger.
Mm.
You get the surprise return of Mr. Perfect here. He comes out. He's had back problems for a couple of years.
Is that
he comes
why
out.
He's a guest referee?
He comes out
he's
as the referee.
He's
been
a few times, hasn't he? Been
yes.
a referee.
Yeah, he turns up. It's because at this period, he's still a great worker, but he can't really do it. He's
right.
in constant pain.
Right.
And he turns up as this ref. He's really good. He's really cocky and he's just a good storyteller. He just does it with little movements. He manages to get across what he wants to get across.
Yeah.
He's wearing a ref's top. He's also wearing ref trousers.
Which makes him look like the character who's the, in Napoleon Dynamite, the karate master.
Yeah.
Who wears like a Stars and Stripes kind of number.
Yeah, it's
kind of looks
him
a bit like that.
90s look. nobody has ever worn ref trousers again.
Oh, really?
Never seen ref ref trousers.
Really?
So he obviously had a thing where he went, do you know what I need for this? Ref trousers.
Ref trousers.
And ref they've gone, well, what are these? And he goes, just listen, let me tell you.
They look like Newcastle United pyjamas.
They do, they do. They look very much like pyjamas. He is very, very good. You can see there's a slight thing of, wouldn't it be good if he was healthy and yeah. could actually really see through all the things they set up, but he never really can.
No.
His career does go on for probably another decade. He ends up in WCW, but he's never quite at the angle. In fact, he returns to WWE in the early 2000s as well. But it's just a shame that at his sort of peak years, he was having these nagging back injuries.
Right,
just a real pain.
Okay.
He's also, there's a couple of weird things. He's the man who came up with the name Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H.
Oh, is that right?
For Triple H, yeah.
Oh, yes, okay.
Just right. A strange little fact. Lex Luger here is really the story. This is Luger coming out after a year, really, of building up to this moment. And in the last couple of months, it's all slightly derailed. And he realises he's not going to be the main man. It's going to go to Bret Hart. And when he comes out, he just looks like he's had all the air let out of him.
Yeah.
He can't hide the fact that he's like, well, here we go, through the motions for nothing.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking for him.
Well, some of the quotes from the commentators, I'm not even sure who bloody says it, but I imagine it's probably not the boss of the whole thing. But
yeah.
Putting Arabian oil in Japanese cars, I don't understand what it means. I don't understand what it's about.
They were pushing this really big thing that he was Mr. America. They toured him around the country. This angle had been building up for a year. So Lex Luger had been on this. There was this July the 4th thing they did on a naval ship where who could slam Yokozuna, and they got loads of people from other sports to pretend to try and slam him, and they couldn't do it, and other wrestlers tried, and then Lex Luger came and did it. Then they had a sort of SummerSlam match, but they never pulled the trigger on it.
Right.
And this was one of those things that just began running out of steam. There's a funny parallel with John Cena, which I think people began feeling like it was a bit being forced down their throat whether they wanted it or not.
Yeah.
Which is why they all went for Bret Hart. And it's similar with John Cena. There's always been someone, and Roman Reigns, a good example there's always been someone who the crowd will go, you want us to have that person so badly that we want to naturally create the person we want to see.
Yes.
And it's just, I think this is an early example of that.
Because those two get booed, don't they? Or they do. Have like tropes where, you know, we know what's going to happen here, we know what we're going to
get. Yeah, and the clearest example of when the WWF have been, or the WWE by the time it was then, have been pushing people who they wanted, you know, for example, the year that Daniel Bryan had his big WrestleMania, he was very much... he was supposed to just have a match with Sheamus, which was going to be an opening match. He ends up in both main events because the fans had really rejected the product they were being given.
Yeah.
And it was a really sort of big struggle, really, for the fans to get what they wanted. What you see here is the first time the fans are rejecting the person who's been chosen.
Right.
And the WWF, you know, brass are beginning to go, well, maybe we should give them the thing they're asking for. Sometimes they don't do that. Sometimes they, you know, for example, Roman Reigns, who gets booed a lot, is also the number one merchandise seller. So those figures...
Right.
It would be stupid to turn him bad or to, you know, move him down the card. He is, you know,
he
huge
sells.
Money. Yeah. So here, it's just an example of a big push that was rejected by the fans, and it just ran out of steam. And you can see this. There's nobody who looks more... I've never seen anyone come to the ring looking more like... Oh, well, here we go. This is the death of the dream. It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He just looks around and he looks sick to be there.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Somewhere there's a Toyota with no seat covers. What is said about Yukazawa's pants?
He's not even fucking Japanese. You might as well have a load of jokes about llamas.
So
you know, it
weird.
Doesn't mean anything. Oh.
It's so weird. You're just a Japanese sympathiser, Mark. I've said that before. What's Jim's tennis racket thing? I think I missed what that was.
Well,
is that...
Jim Cornette always had a tennis racket. The idea in the NWA when he started off as a manager in the 80s was that he was a spoiled mummy's boy. And
so he had a tennis
the idea
racket.
Was...
It's not a tennis racket, though. It doesn't have strings, it seems, in this particular situation.
I think it's always got the cover on it. So he used to use that as a thing where it was almost like he was off to his tennis practice. That was in 1980s.
That was the fanciest thing.
Southern America.
Right.
That would have been, you know, my mama has paid for me to have tennis lessons.
Right, okay,
that
yeah.
would be absolute
That would be enough.
Looks like we got ourselves a queer.
You know, yeah, yeah,
the worst thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
Cornette is great. I mean, he had a very rocky time in the WWF. Mm. It's being mended sort of slowly, but one of the sort of the great managers. He is great at talking. This is a time when, I mean, like Yokozuna and Mr. Fuji, Jesus Christ, I mean, he's doing all the heavy lifting here. And he's very good at it. You know, it's good to see him. The problem with Jim Cornette is he was never really able to take huge bumps because over the years he'd actually had some really bad injuries from, you know, wrestling, essentially.
That's the thing, though, and I think that's something we talked about a couple of episodes ago when we went to see that wrestling.
Mm.
Like... It only takes like a misplaced, you know, centimetre, millimetre somewhere and you're just fucked.
I mean, the other thing is you can see there's some of the great managers like Bobby Heenan, Jim Cornette and J.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
All of them suffered proper, you know, career... ending injuries when they were managers. Mm. And it was because they were in there with these huge guys who were usually a foot taller than, you know, 100 pounds heavier, and they would treat them like a wrestler.
Yeah.
And their bodies, they aren't bodies that are ready for that physical level of abuse.
Yeah.
It would be like you and I doing it.
Yeah.
And the Road Warriors making you take their big top rope move. And like J.J. Dillon, you just land on your shoulder and it caves in.
Yes.
You know, it's a real shame because these guys have short, abilities to take bumps.
Mm.
And of course, what you want to see is you want to see Jim Cornette getting his. But the problem is, he's got his so often, he can no longer get his.
Right.
Because his body is just essentially gravel in a bag.
And Yokozuna's body is a little bit more covered, let's say.
Yes.
His bones aren't taking quite so much, apart from the joints and the legs.
I'm amazed by how big he is.
He's gigantic, and he shouldn't be working twice a night because he's tired.
No. He really, really does. It's, you know, I do look at it and I do, because you know what happens to him, it's impossible not to go, goodness me, something should have been done. I think it was in later years they refused to employ him because he would not stop. But he wanted to become the largest pro wrestler ever. And considering, I mean, there were a couple of twins called I forget the name, Benny was one of them, but they were the fattest people you've ever seen in your life, and they were something like 800 pounds each. They were in the Guinness Book of Records when the Guinness Book of Records still went, we accept horrible,
yeah, people who've abused
yourself.
Their bodies, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, you've smashed your foot with a hammer until it can get into a mouse hole. Man, we'll put you in the book.
Man who's taking as much fentanyl as he can before he dies. Like, you know.
Yeah, you've flattened your own skull between the, you know, a vice. You know, congratulations.
You've trapped every limb you have in the boot of a Toyota for no reason.
Pulled out your nervous system and you're just chewing it in your own mouth. Congratulations, here's your certificate. But this match, again, it's not the main event, and so people don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They don't care about the match, they just want to get to the end of it so they know what they're going to be watching at the end of the match. And I tell you, when it isn't Lex Luger, that is a surprise.
Yeah.
Because the match that I think people thought they'd see is Brett versus Lex.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a better match.
Yes.
But when you were going in with Brett versus Yokozuna, you knew Yokozuna was not leaving with the belt.
Yeah.
Bad bit of booking.
Bad booking, guys. Adam Bomb. Who's Adam Bomb? Why is he here?
Adam
Who's
Bomb
that?
Was a young wrestler who was 29. They spent a lot of money. They gave him quite an exciting gimmick.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be from near Three Mile Island, where they'd had a nuclear issue in the
fisherman.
Early 80s, I think it was. And he actually did come from very close to Three Mile Island in real life.
Right.
So it was a gimmick based in his life. And they spent all this money giving him contact lenses and a sort of like a hazmat sort of, you know, explosion suit and these things, and then everyone lost interest in it and they just squashed him and then they fired him.
Nice.
So they give Earthquake, who is, you know, not going to be around WWF very much longer.
No.
Established star, they give him the young bloke and Earthquake is just allowed to squish him really quickly.
Yeah. I think 35 seconds this
Yeah,
much.
I think by this point they are actually having timing issues because they end up having to drop a big match entirely that has eight different, it's an eight-man tag, so there's eight people in it. And
I hope the rest has got appearance fees still.
There's a little bit where they appear on the screen squabbling about who's going to be the leader in the match. And then they go, I want to be leader. And the other one goes, I want to be leader. And it cuts back and Vince just goes, well, that match isn't going to take place because they can't agree. So I hope that if they did say, are we being paid? Vince just turns around and just says, you were arguing about who you, that you ruined it.
Unprofessional.
Yeah, play the game, mate. Kayfabe. Kayfabe, eh?
Yeah, your check was very much kayfabe.
Oh, yeah, but, and again, you know, man. There's so many exciting people in that little group.
Yeah, well, so who's in the little group?
We could have talked about Jeff Jarrett, but he only just appears really quickly.
Okay.
The Head Shrinkers are there.
Yes.
We've talked about them before. IRS, and I think they were taking on, it was actually 10 men.
Oh,
so it was the 1-2-3 Kid, Bob Holly, Tatanka, and the Smoking Guns versus IRS, Jeff Jarrett, Rick Martel, and the Head Shrinkers.
There's some good wrestlers in there.
Yeah, and I mean those 10-man matches are always a bit of a mess, but they go quickly and everything.
Yeah.
But I think the reason is the match that ran long was the next one.
Right.
Which is the ladder match between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. What did you think about this?
I had never seen so many times where I thought a man was genuinely going to break his neck. I thought, because I've only been watching WrestleManias, and this is about as extreme as I've seen it, and I include all the blading and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I know the ladder's not very big, but even when they're hitting each other with it, you're like, oh, it's still a fucking ladder, isn't it?
You are the luckiest person in the world. Because you've seen no wrestling, you got to come to that match in the same way that people who watched it at the time did. And that match was a groundbreaking, revolutionary match. We had never seen anything like it at all.
Okay.
Absolutely astonishing.
There's a moment where it's Michaels, who comes on with the best spectacles I've ever seen in my life, with sniper sights, iron sights in one of the eyepieces, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
They're on top of the ladder, or he's on top of the ladder, he gets pushed off, and he lands balls first onto the ropes.
Yeah.
And then, I think later, I don't know whether it's in that move or that, because it goes on quite, it's quite a long match, but it's still very good.
It is,
he manages to get his, the way that he lands to get his leg caught in the rope without me noticing that he's done it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Incredible.
That's how the match ends.
Yes,
he gets his foot caught.
Sorry, have I ruined it for everybody?
by announcing a result.
Yeah, we don't do this. We don't do this.
The bit about that, which is really astonishing, is I watched that back and I thought, actually, shit, he gets his leg out and then he's just flapping around.
Right.
But when I watched it back, he's not even doing that. Once he gets his leg out, he realises Razor's not in position to get the belt, and he just flawlessly gets his arm trapped between the two ropes and then gets caught again. And it's just...
Sean, you're having a shit show, mate. You are having a nightmare with those ropes.
It is. When they first announced it was a ladder match, I remember this, and it was being... Yeah, ladder matches had been around since, I think, the earliest one's about 1972.
Okay.
And
they came from
Calgary, but you'd never seen it in WWF or WCW.
Okay.
And in about, I think, 92, Bret Hart, who's done some ladder matches in his career, only a couple, there've never been very many, he sort of says to Vince McMahon, I've got an idea for this ladder match, and I think it's worked in Calgary. I think it'd be really fun. So he decides to do one with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And it's recorded at a house show, and so it's available on the network. You can type in ladder match Bret Hart, and it brings that one up. And that's the first ever WWF match, and it's between him and Shawn Michaels. And again, it's really long. And what happens is the crowd have never seen this before. Mm. They don't really know what it is. But by the end, they're going, that was the most spectacular thing I've ever seen. Because I think up to that point, when they had gimmick matches, there was one in WCW where they had a thing called a coal miner's glove on a pole match. And what it was there was a pole with a coal miner's glove on it.
Right.
Now, a coal miner's glove, it's not like coal miners have proper hard gloves, is it?
No.
Like they're Thanos or anything, you know?
No, it's just a black, dirty glove, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this one is sort of, I don't know what it was.
Right.
But when they did this, they made a big thing about it, and they had this match between Sting and Jake Roberts. And Sting finally gets this coal miner's glove off a pole. He hits Jake Roberts in the ribs with it and then pins him. So it was like, you were used to these gimmick matches going, oh, okay, they'll use it once in some small way, and we'll all go, oh, well, that was a bit of a letdown.
Like, didn't Jake get given the blindfold match?
Like the blindfold match, okay. You know, it's the gimmick that you sort of go, oh, well, you know, okay, so they used it, but it would have been better if they had a normal match.
Yeah.
What they do with this is they have an incredible normal match. It's just that there's three people in it, and one of those people is a ladder. And at the time, no one had seen anything as extreme. And people, I really remember this at the time. It was a 5-star match in the Wrestling Observer. The first time I think a WWF match had had one, certainly since Steamboat and Savage.
Yeah.
If that was even a 5-star match, I can't remember. People were just like, this is the greatest match in WrestleMania history.
Mm.
And it was just, I mean, no one could see how it could be topped. In any way. It seemed like, well, that's the end of wrestling.
Well, it just effectively makes the ring way higher and way more perilous.
It was so thrilling. I mean, and they used the ladder brilliantly.
Mm.
There's a school of thought that I mean, really, what happens here is it's a star-making performance for Shawn Michaels, who is just, he becomes the greatest worker in the business as a result. He takes all of the damage.
Mm.
Razor does a couple of things, but actually Razor Ramon has quite a relaxing time. It's just Shawn Michaels falling off, having his tights taken off, which I'm sure is something that wasn't agreed and that he just put in for that extra bit of sizzle. It's just an amazing performance. Mm. And watching it again, it's a familiar match for me. I've seen it over the years countless times.
Yeah.
And there's always a bit where you just go, God, this is great.
When Razor Ramon jumps and gets the belt, again, we've revealed the winner there, haven't we?
Yeah. There are two belts, by the way, because...
Oh, yeah, why is there two belts? That was needlessly confusing
for
me.
Yes, it is. In late 1993, Shawn Michaels is the Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
He fails a steroid test, and he says, I didn't take steroids.
Right.
Honestly, I didn't take them. I shouldn't have failed this test.
Yeah.
He then refuses to come to work, and he keeps the Intercontinental belt. So with this in mind, they say, oh, well, he's not defended it. Let's have a battle royale, and then the two last people will fight for the belt, and Razor Ramon wins it. Mm. They patch everything up again, and then Michaels comes back, and he sort of goes, I'm the real champion, I never lost it. So then they begin this oh, okay, they've got the two right. belts up there,
yeah.
and then it's put back into one. just worth saying, the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels match, Bret Hart was always very, very annoyed about this match, because
right.
he felt it was his idea, his family's concept, and it had been taken by the bloke he'd done it with, and this guy had done it really, really well. So no one at the end of WrestleMania 10 was talking about Bret versus Owen.
No.
They were all talking about the ladder match. And so he was a bit fucked off about it. Watching this Bret versus Shawn, the original one, the commentary for such an important historical match is, of course, left up to Gorilla Monsoon and Lord Alfred Hayes. So it's on a Coliseum home video called Smack 'em Whack 'em.
Yeah, so what is Coliseum? Because they
Coliseum was the video label they used to put all their tapes
right,
on.
Okay.
So they had Coliseum home video would have, you know, just a compilation of matches
it
that they
so
taped.
Illicit. It looked like Coliseum.
I've got loads of the proper big clamshell American
Lovely.
ones, and they're all from old video stores that went bankrupt. They are just delightful. But they're a real ragtag of matches
yeah,
and you get
yeah,
some
yeah.
great things on there. I have actually got one, the best of the WWF, which actually just has a young Mr. Fuji on the front as
nice.
well.
Nice.
But Alfred Hayes does the commentary, and considering this...
What, he does the play-by-play kind of...
For the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels' first ladder
God.
Match. And Alfred, he not only does he not understand at all what's going on, he is explained to it again and again by Gorilla, and it just doesn't go in. So there's a great bit where...
Whose ladder is that?
He says, it's... I mean, you know, if it ends in a draw cannot solve anything here. And Gorilla says, no. He said, it can't. It cannot end in a draw. And Alpha just goes, it cannot end in a draw.
I'm hearing.
There's also a big bit, again, a key historical match, and it's literally action bell to bell. And Gorilla is doing another thing where he says to Alfred, Sensational Sherry, she's at ringside. Sensational Sherry said, she's actually got a big tattoo on her breast. And Alfred's going, goodness me. He's going, yeah, I'll show you later. Like that. He's back to this whole thing about a woman with a tattoo on her chest.
Because he was obsessed like last year, you know, the year before, I can't remember.
He laughs, he giggles at the idea of it. But this is recorded around the same time, still going on about her tattoo on her chest, which I think also isn't a real one. I think it was
just
like
a painting.
Some
yeah,
henna.
It just cannot.
Oh, but yeah, Alfred, it is not Alfred's finest moment, because that's the interview he does where he goes to meet the British Bulldog's parents.
Yeah.
But this is everything that we love about Alfred in one otherwise key and important historical wrestling moment.
But that's another... So you're talking about the ladder match, or a legendary kind of match.
It's the first ever ladder match.
Yeah,
which makes it the sort of
important. On the Coliseum Hobbit.
Yeah,
right, okay,
so this is the first ever WWF ladder match.
Okay, yeah.
And
I realise I sound like Lord Alfred Hayes going, sorry, what's going on here?
Well,
who's keeping that ladder after he finished?
Well, I'm so glad
I've got some trellis. I've broken some trellis in my house. I could do with a ladder. Right, okay.
Are we going home now? No. The bell's just rung, so that means the match has started. The bell means the end. Yes, it does as well. You're not wrong. Never wrong. What?
When WrestleMania gets too shiny and we sort of, you know, second guess this whole project, can we just do matches in which Lord Alfred Hayes is somehow involved, inexplicably involved?
There is a funny thing about watching that, was when it came on, I thought, I wonder if this is going to be a slow match and everything, and the second the Gorilla goes, hi, it's Gorilla Monsoon, alongside me, Lord, okay, fucking yes. Fucking yes. Oh, amazing.
And it's you sent me the video of Lord Alfred Hayes going around the British Bulldog's house.
Yes.
But something went wrong with your phone or my phone, and it starts fine. You're going, I'm here round the British Bulldog's house in, where's your move around? No, like Blackpool.
Goldbourne, Lancashire.
Goldbourne, Lancashire. And we're here to meet, and then it, from then on, it just goes really slow. Like, yeah. And everyone's just going, whoa. And I can't help but think Lord Alfred Hayes was somehow involved in the editing. He's pressed the wrong button.
Everything that goes wrong in the world is because Alfred Hose. Hey, Alfred Hose. Even that link. Alfred Hayes's ghost is interfering. So when there's like a helicopter comes down, it's just because Alfred Hayes's ghost has been floating around. I've got a helicopter caught on my head. Gone now. Carry on. Everything is bad. Famine. He's just got in the way of the sun. You know, just he is such a talisman for me. Think about him. I would say on average 6 or 7 times a day.
Every time somebody mentions wrestling, I think about him.
He's the great. God. We're going to have to buy a load of those custom figures.
I know. They're so expensive. I mean, they're just needlessly expensive. Though. I'm sure we could just make some ourselves out of Play-Doh.
I can't think there's anything funnier than at the end of your life when they say, are there any regrets? Going, yes, that we didn't go on more of those pilgrimages to Alfred Hayes' burial site.
I am going to make a Lord Alfred Hayes toy. There's only 4 of them in the world that some idiots made, and mine's going to be the 5th. I don't know how I'm going to do it,
but
I'm going to do it. I'm going to 3D print him.
There are some things called wrestling buddies that they made in the 90s. And okay. They were sort of, I think they were made by Tonka.
Right. And the ones that did the big trucks?
They're like pillows.
Okay.
So they have a sort of generic shape, and then they've printed the face on them.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
I've seen someone who's done modern ones of those, and they've printed up like a Kane one.
Yeah.
They're originally like a Hogan and a Warrior.
Yes, I am aware of them. Yeah, they are great.
An Alfred Hayes one of those would be brilliant.
All we need is bleach an original. Bleach all the ink out of it.
We can just print one out. With fully functioning holes.
I want an Alfred Hayes Japanese love pillow.
Hazel. But in the spirit of Alfred, it's got to be just full of like glass and syringes. Done wrong.
His fully functioning anus is just like in his armpit. It's an anomaly, but it's my anomaly.
It's an anomaly.
He's not even in this WrestleMania. How has this happened? Alfred.
We're at the main event.
Yes.
It's Yokozuna versus Bret Hart for the WWF Championship. They bring in the timekeeper is Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
At the time, a huge star, felt like a sort of thing. Ooh, someone off the telly is here. Someone off real telly. And then Roddy Piper comes in as the guest referee.
Mm, yes,
he's pleased to be there. he is. I think, you know, he's sort of back.
Yeah.
I think there's always a thing as well where Piper had a bit of a rivalry with Hogan.
Okay.
So I think there was a sense of him thinking, well, if Hogan's out of the picture, I could actually be a really big deal.
Pop back in again.
Yeah, and he stays around for a few years after this. Now he pops up pretty much just at the big events. He has I think he has a pay-per-view match with Jerry Lawler at some point. He has one with Goldust at the next couple of WrestleManias or whatever.
So
he sort of then becomes almost the sort of elder statesman who doesn't wrestle at all frequently but is a big marquee attraction.
One
of the few big names at that point that haven't either gone to WCW or retired. It's worth mentioning, actually, the interesting part of that is this new generation starts, and it starts at a point where the business really goes in a downswing. So they are getting very low house shows, and this continues for a few years to the point where it becomes really, really precarious.
Right.
And so the stars that they're making are big, but they're not breaking in the way that they did 5 years ago, where they're household names. So here, I mean, like your Yokozunas and your Bret Harts, you know, the average person, would they know? They'd probably know the name Bret Hitman Hart. In the same way they'd know British Bulldog, but they aren't going to know Yokozuna. They aren't probably going to really see Bret Hart wrestle in the same way that they had Hogan.
But isn't it weird though, all these sort of characters like, you know, Rick Rude and Brutus Barber and stuff, like, we're starting to get a point where we don't hear about these people anymore, and it's really weird. Like, they're, you know, I've come to this, and you know, WrestleMania's been going for 10 years at this point, so you sort of think it's quite hard to run anything to build such a massive wave like that.
Absolutely.
It's like I would sort of compare it to not Apple, but like Apple, really. I mean, like, look at the success of the iPhone. Now I do get the feeling that for every iteration of their product, it's, you're kind of aping what Samsung are doing or what Huawei are doing or
absolutely.
Whatever. Like, you're kind of just, you're catching up effectively, but you're doing it in your sort of slightly different way.
Yeah.
It is hard to keep up. the pace, I think.
It is, and you look at this as well. I mean, we're definitely going to get to WrestleMania 50 because the way things are going, it's never been more secure. It's never been more of a... I mean, they recently redid their TV rights and they got far more money than they, I think, even expected to.
Yes,
because it's... I mean, wrestling is not going away.
Mm.
How many things, you know, outside of sports, run for 50 years? Nothing.
Look at how the way that the NFL have dealt with the kneeling
Taking a knee.
They've covered themselves in absolute shit and showed themselves to be a pathetic, gutless travesty of a company under siege from all sides because they are politically mad.
Yeah.
And also it looks very much like the NFL as a sport will not continue in the way that it's continued at the moment.
It's interesting actually that like Vince McMahon has revivified his own football league, which cost so much money in 2001, but that's now sort of come back. And it's interesting that wrestling is just this bedrock of money. It's been profitable for so long now that I don't think anyone thinks it won't be. So it can begin to prop up these other things.
Yeah.
It's just sort of fascinating. What you're seeing, of course, is you're seeing really just the churn of people who are involved in this product.
Yeah.
Who can be there for 7 years at the top of it, and then suddenly the door shuts and you never see them again.
Yeah.
It's a really strange business because it's not like television or entertainment where you can be out of it for 7 years and you can come back. In this, because it's a physical thing, you just disappear.
Yeah.
And you're never spoken of again. And it's an odd thing to see all those people like your Rick Rudes, like your Brutus Beefcakes, like your Honky Tonk Mans, great gimmicks, and they just ebb away. And they just go, oh, it's a melancholy feeling, isn't it?
You know, it's weird, though.
Melancholy.
So strange. And these are people.
They are.
These are people.
People with drug habits.
They need to keep going.
Yeah.
Very much so.
This match itself is... I mean, it's fine. It doesn't really feel like a main event.
Well, you've just seen, some crazy shit with a ladder that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
But usually what they do, like, you said this before, like for the main event, they usually have a little buffer, don't they? But
yes. Yeah.
Do you reckon that 10-man thing was supposed to sit here? But
yes, it was.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And they obviously are just, the time has gone. It's a funny thing. I mean, the only thing you can think is that the ladder match went long. And this does tie in with the point where Shawn Michaels is, as I said, becoming the shittiest man on earth. He becomes very powerful,
right?
And he becomes a real politicker. So he's constantly, you know, he became
Let's
so bad.
Let's ask the ladder, shall we? Let's ask the ladder if that's a good idea, Vince.
He becomes so bad that he retires after WrestleMania 15, with a career-ending back injury. Mm. And had he retired then and never come back, I think he'd be remembered as being, you know, this awful prick who had some good matches and he was just the worst person on earth.
Okay.
He discovered Christianity, he got clean, and then he came back and he had, you know, just an astonishing second run where he was generous, and he was, apart from with one person, which was Hulk Hogan, he had a SummerSlam match with him and he was so aggrieved about losing to him that he really oversold every move to make it look like Hogan was Superman, and you can see Hogan during it just going, "Oh come
oh,
on,
off.
You know, you make yeah. you know, I just such a prick." The Rock never worked with Shawn Michaels, and that was supposed to be down to the fact that Shawn Michaels had been really rude to his grandma, who was a wrestling promoter, and The Rock refused to ever have anything to do with him. You can read all the stuff about the 90s. It's just this big, everyone's off their face, and Shawn Michaels has gone mad with power. And it's a fascinating thing, but you can tell in that sort of thing, he's putting on the best matches. Everything that was going on never affected him in the ring.
Right.
And so he's putting on these matches, but you get the impression that he's going along with this match because he's stealing the show.
Mm.
And so when you get to the main event, they're having to squash it in, and Bret Hart is naturally getting, you know, furious with the whole thing.
Mm.
And this starts off, really, this problem between the two of them about who is the top man in the company, which will ultimately change the business.
Ooh.
Exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
Bit of a shame. They end this with Yokozuna getting pinned just because he falls off the ropes. And that as a sort of end for WrestleMania. You know, come on. Can we not think of anything a bit better than that? Yokozuna in this, though, does two really late kickouts when he's being pinned.
Okay.
He goes one, two, And he suddenly gets his thing up.
Yeah.
And at the time, again, no one had really seen that before. It's a funny thing. You see it all the time now, the last second kick out. Mm. But Yokozuna, as a big bloke, it doesn't look like he's going to do it. And he does. And you suddenly go, Christ, actually, he's got amazing timing there.
Yeah.
And the crowd really fall for it. They're like, oh, it's really exciting. He really is good. And I actually, we haven't seen that in any other WrestleMania where someone does a real
late
wait
kick out.
Yeah. Ah. So as far as I'm concerned, the last minute two count kick out, 2 3/4, is invented by Yokozuna. And you see it all the time now.
Well, you see Lex Luger earlier on in the WrestleMania doing the lift the arm up sort of thing, and he goes 1, 2, and then he goes, oh, and his arms just sort of go, whoa, like that.
Shaky,
and it's just like
shaky,
shaky, shaky, shaky. And it's like, that's not a natural thing you would do if you had tried. Like, you'd sort of go, yeah. You'd sort of go up a bit, and
yeah,
it's just,
It's funny how we accept that as being a thing that you go, I understand that. But yeah. You actually sort of, if you think about it, you just go, why are they doing that? Why would they start doing a ticking off when you're essentially choking them? No. And then the last bit ends with just all of the good guys coming to the ring to celebrate Bret Hart. A spontaneous decision that by Randy Savage.
Oh, really?
He said to everyone, get out there and let's, you know, put him on the shoulders. And I think this was because they'd been through some bad years of watching everyone big leave, and they were, I think, battening down the hatches a bit.
Oh, okay.
They're aware WCW were doing well, and I think they were feeling a bit, with the trial coming up as well, uncertain. And I think it's a funny thing where they all get together and just go, let's be strong.
Yeah.
Let's do this. You look at them now, and I think pretty much all of them within certainly 3 years have gone. Mm. They've either taken big money deals from WCW or, you know, something terrible's happened. But And it's little Gorilla Monsoon turns up as well at the end. Little Gorilla. So nice. And they end it then with Owen Hart standing on the ramp, looking at Bret Hart, going, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you. In a way, the perfect ending. It's done really, really nicely.
It's a really good... but again, it's short. It's a short WrestleMania, but there's enough there where you sort of go, well, I've seen two big things there. An excellent start and that ladder match.
You're lucky in some WrestleManias to have one match between two really good people.
Yeah.
And this one, there's, you know, the Hart and Owen Hart.
Mm.
There's the ladder match.
Mm.
And those are just two great matches.
Yeah.
And actually, there's no matches in this where you go, that's crap.
Yeah.
You know, the Earthquake Adam Bomb one, that's short, so it doesn't really count.
Mm.
But the rest of them are okay.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's working. It's quite nice. You get to see Dink get splashed by Luna Vachon. She gets cross. What more can you ask for?
Punches a man the size of a toddler. Brilliant. Bloody brilliant. That's the end of WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, isn't
it? What's happening next time? Huh?
What's happening next time? Next time, we're going to see one of the Gridiron Greats take on Bam Bam Bigelow.
Nice.
In a main event that nobody really remembers. And if you were British, meant literally nothing.
Looking forward to that. Do you want a quick email to finish?
Yeah.
Jamie says, enjoying the podcast. Damn you, though, for sending me on a hunt for deep cuts on the history of the WWF and beyond. However, in doing so, I did come across a reference to Ike Pro, which said that a son of the late, great Kurt Hennig soiled himself during a Little League sports game as a result of taking it.
that does not surprise me.
And Mark, you must do the Von Erich story. I don't know what that means. But
Someone did mention, I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago that I'd like to do a special on the Von Erichs where we just dig everything up, really. Not literally, because that would take ages. There's loads of them. And someone did mention, actually, there is not a bad at all documentary on the there's a WWE DVD from a few years back called The Triumph and Tragedy of World Class Wrestling, which is all about the Texas promotion their dad formed.
Mm.
And it's a really good documentary. Mm. But I think that the fact that podcasting is essentially the Wild West and you can just put up any old bits of audio you like, I think there's something to be done in just going and finding a load of original Von Erich stuff and chucking it up. Who knows? It might be really boring. I do actually have a special I want to do that is literally unacceptable and nobody will want to hear. But I think it's really important to do it because I find it exciting.
I think I know what that special is, and I think we should do it.
Yeah.
It's important.
Maybe someone could fix it for us.
Don't do that impression. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.